Hello and welcome to the first podcast for Zenzui. Zenzui! My name is John Sangiovanni, a co-founder. I'm here with Steve Dosick, who is the director of something.
Server engineering, which means I stand around in the server room and I play with rack-mounted equipment and I have Ethernet cables running through my veins, in fact, instead of veins. And occasionally I run screaming down the hallway and I yell at John or I yell at our other engineers because I find out that John now has access to provisioning things on our front-end network.
It just happened this week, in fact. I found the coolest script, the craziest things.
And I am quickly revoking his access to our source code control system.
That's probably wise. In future podcasts, you'll get a chance to meet Jim Cooley, who is our Vice President of Engineering, and then also Ben Betterson, who is VP of Client Technology. So a little bit about the Zenzui adventure. It's been kind of a fun year or so. We've actually been an independent entity now for about 5 months in deep stealth, and it's actually the Friday before CTIA. We're announcing the company next week. We're really excited because we have a lot of really cool technology we've been building and been working deeply with some top-tier partners over the last couple of months, and we're really excited to sort of unveil all of this together with our user interface next week at CTIA. So Zenzui as a technology was actually born in the halls of Microsoft Research. At Microsoft, the functions of R&D are actually quite separate. So there's, of course, the development teams that work on different products, but then there's the research lab that's focused, kind of run very much like an academic computer science department, where it's very cross-disciplinary research and it's focused on multi-year projects. And this project specifically was part of a collection of mobile research projects that were focused kind of outside the Microsoft gene pool, working very closely together with Professor Ben Betterson, who is now co-founder of this venture. Ben is a rock star in the information visualization and adaptive user interface space.
Yeah, chased down the street by groupies screaming, asking for signatures and autographs on his books and his academic papers.
Academic publications. If you Google him, you'll see he has quite a following. And actually, he's approached weekly by startups. We're totally honored that this is the first one that really fired him up enough to get involved with. And so Ben and I were really trying to think about how to reinvent mobile browsing. Ben from the scientific sort of engineering and human-computer interaction side, and me from the design side. I have a background in design. And we came up with a design that we thought was really cool, and we published it and patented it and got a bit of exposure around that design. And, you know, as is the case in any big company, there's always going to be ideas in the research lab that, for whatever reason, aren't the right impedance match for the portfolio of products in the company. So as such, there's actually a relatively new program at Microsoft called IP Ventures under the direction of Sharif Mansour and David Hartnett, who the goal is to try and find kind of cool technologies in Microsoft and spin them out into new, completely independent ventures. So Zenzui is an example of that. We actually are a completely independent entity in downtown Seattle, and we spun out from Microsoft in September of last year.
Downtown Seattle is very different than Redmond.
In so many ways.
We're 4 blocks from the Pike Street Market, and we can walk 1 block to the gorgeous largest mall in downtown Seattle, the Pacific Place Mall, and we're looking at the lights of the Seattle Convention Center right now. So yeah, it's definitely not Redmond.
It's very cool. We actually just moved into our new space. We've been hunkered down in different subleases as startups always are, but now we've just moved into a really cool space right smack downtown, so it's a very fun time. So the interesting catalyst of all this was a gentleman by the name of Tom Huseby. We refer to him as our venture godfather because he was the one who really put all the pieces together to breathe this to life. The intellectual property from Microsoft Research, he's the one who really kind of closed the deal with Eric Hertz, who has, you know, more than 20 years of experience in wireless, and really brought together the core executive team to bring this in, as well as financing from Oak and Hunt, who have been great venture partners in this adventure. So what Zenzui is all about is basically trying to really rethink the experience of mobile browsing. So, you know, if you look at browsing website on a mobile device, for example, it's a pretty miserable experience by any analysis. And, you know, I don't know about you, but my threshold for tolerance for an hourglass is even lower on a device than it is on a desktop computer, and it's pretty low on a desktop. So,
well, it's really a physics problem that you have to solve, though, because, you know, a mobile device has to actually open a channel to talk to a radio tower that it needs to negotiate with to get more time on the network. Actually has to send the connection up to the mobile network, get it sent over to the proxy server somewhere on the carrier's network, get it relayed onto the internet, go up to a website, download the data, and then do the same thing in reverse. So, you know, you're looking at a huge amount of just sort of radio wave propagation problem that you have to solve.
That round trip is painful. Even on the lowest latency networks, it's painful. And I think one of the things that makes the BlackBerry experience so gratifying is they're always interacting with a local store. For consuming an email or sending an email, you just sort of interact with that local store with instant gratification, and you just kind of know and trust that content's going to be synchronized over the air, you know, from your pocket or your purse.
And it's no fuss, no muss. I mean, you type something in a draft, you sit down in front of your computer, and 30 seconds later it's sitting there. You can finish your draft email and send it off. You know, all your notes are synchronized down appropriately, all your contacts, everything. It's just, you know, it's the perfect mobile experience.
So very early on, we determined that bidirectional synchronization was the way to go in terms of a data center architecture. But then the other big problem that had to be solved was the problem of the user experience itself. So, you know, I've been working in the mobile space for 15 years, and I've seen spectacular innovations in every dimension of mobile, from the devices themselves to the networks and the services provided on the networks, with the notable exception of the real science behind the information visualization. Meanwhile, there's all this cool stuff that's happening in the academic landscape around adaptive user interfaces and scalable UI, and you know, if you read Engadget, Gizmodo, any of the mobile blogs, you see a tidal wave of new devices coming down the pipeline every week that are, you know, different resolutions and orientation and size and input hardware, some with a keypad, some with a touchscreen, some with a QWERTY keypad. There's huge diversity. So,
and it's really only in the last maybe 12 to six, really only 6 months that a lot of new devices have come out that have the power to really present a really lush user interface to the end user around, you know, their data.
And those aren't enterprise devices anymore necessarily. I mean, it's amazing to see how deeply these really cool devices have penetrated the consumer segment.
Yeah, Singular is totally pushing, you know, for instance, the Blackjack, which is a Windows mobile device, to consumers, you know, and the BlackBerry Pearl is completely a consumer-oriented device.
T-Mobile Dash. I mean, this is some of these high-end Symbian and the high-end Motorola phones are really making deep penetration in the consumer segment. Say nothing of iPhone, and you know, there's just, I really believe that this is the year when, you know, the phone is such a personal device. It's such an important part of your lifestyle that really having a device that has some impressive rendering capability is starting to be much more the rule than the exception. So that said, we wanted to create these really lush, high frame rate, sexy visualizations, and we were inspired by this academic research category called the Zooming User Interface, or ZUI, hence the name, Zen ZUI. So if you Google Ben Betterson, you'll see that he has a deep background in Zooming User Interfaces, and so what we designed is this really adaptive UI construct that's, you know, as I mentioned, totally orientation, size, and input hardware independent, but then you basically are flying into an ad of your content using this really cool high frame rate renderer that we're really proud of. So you get a super high frame rate even on a relatively low performance device. And then all of this is synchronized on the back channel up to the data center. So you're always interacting with an offline store. You get this very, very fast sort of gratifying experience.
If it wasn't going to be, you know, mobile, changing the mobile data browsing experience, it was going to be building a massively multiplayer online real-time game, because that's basically the other thing that would fit this architecture.
I mean, that's the core technology. You know, we see all kinds of interesting things happening in the video game space and the handheld video games, and also the way that people are sharing content, and that really should be applied to mobile sponsored content. And then meanwhile, in parallel, we looked at the business model pretty deeply. And, you know, right now there are all kinds of marketers and agencies that have these huge mobile budgets for wireless brand experiences, and they cannot spend their budgets for this because there's no way to do an elegant cross-carrier, cross-device buy. What are you going to do? An SMS campaign? An IVR campaign? Something that's super lowest common denominator? Certainly doesn't create an engaging brand experience.
And that isn't actually at all interesting for the end user who's actually going to be using something. You know, at the end of the day, all these brands, yeah, they want to market their stuff to you, but they also want you to actually feel good about using something that the brand has provided you.
And I'm terrified about the prospect of mobile spam. Like, I live on my mobile device. I'm perfectly happy to have a conversation with a marketer or a brand that fits into my lifestyle, but that's a very, very important kind of bar to me.
It's the most personal experience you could possibly have, right? I mean, this is the device you carry around in your pocket. 16 out of the 24 hours of the day.
Has your music, has your photos. So as such, if you think about the Zooming user interface, and you've probably seen this around if you've been clicking around our site, you see that we basically have this 16-tile Zoom space that you, the user, have lovingly crafted to reflect your lifestyle. So you pick the 16 tiles that really speak to your lifestyle. And we've designed this in this very kind of very explicit 1 to 4 to 16 on the Z-axis Zoom levels. And as you fly into and out of your content, you can do purchase transactions, and you can get updates on sports scores, and you can glance and see what the snow is like in the two mountains that you board most often, or whatever your lifestyles are. You can kind of build the tiles that speak to your lifestyle. And because you've explicitly onboarded these tiles into your Zoom space, then that really, that's sort of an explicit opt-in model that really really takes care of the spam issue in a totally different approach. So anyways, we designed this system and we spun out again together with Tom Huseby. He pulled all the pieces together. We breathed our first breath of life as a startup and a spin out about 5 months ago. And I guess that was around the time when we met you, right?
Well, I met Jim through a mutual friend, and you know, we sort of met each other, you know, at a couple parties over the last few years, and I was sort of ready to go off and do something on my own, but I realized that, you know, if I was working off on my own, I'd probably end up watching a lot of TV and eating Cheetos, and that would not make my wife happy. So I decided that it would be, you know, a really good thing to join up with some good friends and actually build something cool.
We were actually very fortunate to find Steve because not only does he have this very deep sort of architectural sense, not just on the server side, but what it takes to really build a scalable client platform. But he also has a very deep entrepreneurial sense. So he's built and sold companies and has a very, very deep understanding of what are the cultural pieces that really make a successful startup. So we were very fortunate to get Steve engaged, and of course Steve is partners in crime, shares a brain with Jim Cooley. Jim, by the way, is the architect of MSN Direct Band and Disney's ad distribution platform at DIG, Disney Internet Group. Jim has an amazingly well-suited background to this and really complements, you know, my and Ben's background in the sense that, you know, together we really want to build this shared client-server experience, all fueled and informed by this high frame rate, lush user experience. So anyways, that's the sort of general user experience. Then, of course, we started engaging with brands, and we were really thrilled to see how excited they were about having a really unique user experience, being able to craft a cool series of user applications and experiences on the phone. And so we have some great brand partners from Amazon right in our backyard to Nike, just one state south, and then also we have...
Actually, we're staring out the window at the Nike Town store here in Seattle.
Right here in downtown Seattle, yeah. It's I spent far too much money there. And also great partners like Fox TV. So we have the Stewie tile from The Family Guy, which is awesome. We have...
It's actually fantastic because you can be giving a demo to people and totally insult them with comments from Stewie, and they laugh.
And it's all part of the demo.
It's all in good fun.
Stewie is a riot. And but we also have, you know, Kayak.com was actually our earliest partner. They're an insanely cool kind of travel startup, and they've built this very cool web service, and we're hooking into their APIs to build a really cool kind of vacation tracker tile. We have you know, Traffic.com and Flight Stats and Epicurious and Wired and ABC, and you know, we have a cool Pizzeria Uno tile, and I mean there's just a wide diversity of different tiles that are available in our Zoom space.
And unless you think that, you know, we're only going after the large guys, we totally have we're hell-bent on delivering the best mobile development platform we possibly can. If Zenzui isn't the best way and the fastest way to deliver a mobile application, you know, once we release our SDK in a few months, then we've clearly failed. That's totally our mark for our bar for what we're going for.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. We actually put as much thinking into the full view, into the application view, as we did in what we call the Zoom space and the zone view, which is the 16-tile view and the 4-tile view. You know, there's a lot of deep thinking about the cognitive psychology, about the way that humans organize information, and this adaptive UI concept, and you know, how to lay out things spatially. You know, we're all very good at spatial navigation, so how do you quickly find your way to stuff?
Millions of years of evolution have led us to know how to remember how to find things in a spatial way. So.
Right. As it turns out, we haven't had millions of years of evolution for a linear list of 14 textual items that you scroll down through in your mobile browser.
Nor a GUI with an X up in the corner, but that's a whole other story.
Right. So that it's really the two top levels, the zoom space view and the zone view, were informed by all that deep psychology, but then there's also a lot of thought that's gone into the full view. So we've basically provided two different types of tiles. There's the full tile. This is when, you know, if Nike or Kayak wants to create a complete brand experience, they want to have complete control over the tile when you're zoomed in 100% and that's taking up 100% of your screen real estate. That's great. However, we also wanted to provide this channel for the sort of rock star student developer or shareware developer out there. Wants to build a cool mobile application, you know, publish it and certify it up onto the Zenzui ecosystem, and then let's say that you take a weather feed and translate it into the snowboarding conditions at your favorite mountain, or you hang a webcam out of your dorm window and you translate that into the best available parking spots and, you know, on Stanford campus or whatever. If this tile becomes really popular, and of course every tile is a viral object, as you can imagine, so you can send these tiles to your friends, and this really helps kind of the coolest tiles bubble up to the top, and the marketers will notice that. If there's a really hot tile, they'll notice that, and then they'll want to sponsor that tile into your Zoom space. And if you decide that you don't want to play in the sponsored ecosystem, you check the "this is an ad-free tile" checkbox, and we'll pair you up with a PSA, with a nonprofit ad, because we just
PSA being a public service announcement.
Sorry. Yeah. We think that, I mean, that's basically our ad release valve, is that we believe that kind of good karma equals good business. So we provide a channel for charitable giving for those tiles that either you decide you don't want to sponsor, or for whatever reason there's not a sponsor. So anyways, there's a lot of deep thought that went into how to build a good ad distribution platform, but really at the end of the day, our primary focus on this venture was to create this really, really lush, engaging, you know, single-handed user experience for consuming content, all wrapped up in this, we're really proud of this really high frame rate renderer, and every design decision we've made is explicitly not just device independent based on orientation and size, but also platform independent. So we'll run on a wide variety of platforms, because we have this intermediate rendering layer that's easily adaptable to different mobile phone platforms. So that's what Zenzui is all about. And the next time you hear from us, you'll actually get a little bit of an overview of the industry. We'll talk a bit about what's happening in and around the mobile industry. And
you're actually going to be recording that down at CTIA in Florida this week.
Yeah, we're going to capture that from at least portions of it from the floor. Maybe get a chance to hear about what's happening down at CTIA. But thanks very much for taking the time to tune in and hear a bit about the Zenzui adventure. We look forward to hopefully having you posting cool tile content under the Zenzui Zoom space in the years to come. Thanks.